John chapter 12, we'll be reading from 23 to 27. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. He who loves his life loses it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, my Father will honor him. Now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came out of heaven. "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word, God. And we thank you, Lord, for John, God, and Jesus and his life. And Lord, we just come before you, God, and we just want to give you our hearts, Lord, that are open. Father, will you speak to us, God, prophetically, Lord, what it is that you desire for us, God, and of us, so that, God, we may follow you, Lord, all the days of our lives. So we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. John 12, 24 and 25 is actually one of my favorite verses, and it's interesting because Jesus, in the Bible, they often use a lot of farming or, you know, that sort of analogy when it talks about God and his purposes for us and whatnot. And what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go through and kind of teach a little bit on 24 and 25, what I think it means. And so let me just kind of go a step at a time. And so the context, so you'll understand, is this is Jesus speaking after he had been glorified. So basically, he's done all his miracles, and there are people who believe that he's the Messiah. And remember, he got onto a donkey, and then they started putting palm trees down, and he walked through on them. And so now, a lot of people are recognizing him as the Christ, as the Messiah. But right afterwards, this is what he talks about. People come to see him, and this is what he's starting to say. He's explaining why he needs to die. Now, first, the analogy of this grain of wheat, right? And if it dies, you know, I love it because when I think of it, I think it really clearly depicts how many of us, or even as Christians or non-Christians, try to live most of our lives. Because if you think about it, us as an individual person, I mean, if you look at us in the big scheme of things, we're pretty insignificant, right? I mean, you look at a grain of wheat in a large field, I mean, one grain is tiny. I mean, if you guys have ever had like Weetabix, or you know, you see how small like a grain of wheat really is. And so, I mean, if you think about it, it's not really that good for anything, right? One grain of wheat, all it's good for, if a mouse eats it, it might be, you know, half full, okay? If a human eats it, I mean, it barely even wets your, I mean, it barely even satisfies us, right? It's not really that good for anything. However, Jesus is talking about if it falls to the ground and it dies, okay, what does he say? Dies, it remains alone, but if it dies, it bears much fruit. Well, what is a grain of wheat? I mean, all a grain of wheat really is a seed. All it really is something that holds a blueprint in order for it to grow into something else. Now, the purpose of this seed, really, I mean, yes, it is edible, but the original purpose of the seed in and of itself is really so that it can be planted. Now, when it's planted, the seed, I mean, it has to die. I mean, if it doesn't die, it doesn't grow. I mean, the seed really never physically dies. But the point is, could you imagine if the seed said, "Nope, I ain't becoming no plant. All I'm going to do is I'm going to hold on to being a seed for the rest of my life, doing nothing. And I'm going to stay on the ground until either something eats me or I waste away." I mean, in some ways, I would say it's kind of a waste of a grain of wheat. I mean, the point and the purpose of this grain is so that it can reproduce. And so Jesus, really, he's talking about and he's making a commentary of the life that all of us have to live as Christians. How much do we hold on to our lives? How much do we hold on to what we think we are and what we desire versus dying and doing what it is the Father wills of us? Now, it's interesting because Paul talks about this in Galatians chapter 2. "For we have been crucified with Christ, that we may no longer live, but then Christ lives in me." And so the idea of the Christian life is not so much that, yes, we're now saved and that's it, but we are saved and then we make the decision to crucify self so that God can live his purposes through us. Now, that part we kind of understand. You know, I love that analogy, right? We have to die to self in order for us to become something more, right? We have to die to ourselves. We have to stop thinking about us, stop thinking about, you know, the flesh and all these things in order for us to grow into the whatever it is that God's called us to grow into. And if we hold on to ourselves, we die. Now, 25, he who loves his life loses it, he who hates his life in this world will keep it to life eternal. So what is Jesus talking about? This dying, is it a literal death? Is he talking about salvation? Is he talking about if we hold on to our lives that we won't be saved? Is he talking about just the idea of dying to a life? Okay? Well, if we look into the Greek, actually the word life here actually means both a physical life, because it talks about something that has breath, but it also talks about a soul, a spiritual soul. And so there's also something that talks about the seemingly a spirit to it, okay? And so let me explain one at a time. The physical part is very easy, okay? The physical part the life is talking about is actually the life that we will not live. And let me explain. Actually, I think I can hit two birds with one stone. Say, for example, the best way I thought to explain it was my own testimony. Is you guys knew for a long time I've been called into full-time ministry. For 10 years, God's been calling me. Now, for those 10 years that I avoided coming into full-time ministry, during that time, did I ever say to myself, I felt like I knew I was disobedient, but did I lose my salvation? I would say no. Okay, I had an assurance that no matter, I knew my life was going to turn out eventually, but during that time, even though I was walking, I guess, in disobedience, I mean, there was grace in disobedience, but did I lose my salvation? No, I didn't. I felt assured of it. However, looking back, now that I'm doing what I'm doing, I gotta say, it's not that I have any regret, but I realize that I think I probably missed out on parts of life that I think I could have experienced differently had I obeyed. Let me explain to you. I love what I do now, right? I love preaching and teaching. I love leading. I love administering the word and sacrament. And I love, you know, sowing into people, all these sort of things. And I'm wondering, had I just listened to God a little bit earlier, what my life could have been like throughout all of that time? Right now, I mean, clearly God can redeem, but I think the people that I could have reached, right, had I had been a bit more word-focused or God-focused, or maybe the people I could have encouraged, right? You know, I shared this, you know, throughout that entire 10 years that I was walking away from God, I thought I knew what was best, but to be honest, in my heart, there was always this pang, this dissatisfaction, right, that I knew there was something better and something out there. I wonder if I could have lived those 10 years fully satisfied. See, I think that's the physical life part that Jesus talks about. That if we don't die to self, if we don't allow ourselves to be grown into something else, I believe there's a groaning in us as Christians that, God, is there something else? Right? I feel like God's given us the Holy Spirit to give us that sort of holy dissatisfaction. Where we recognize, yes, we are Christian, and for some reason we're dissatisfied, and yet so the Holy Spirit's telling us, look, there's something that you're supposed to become, and yet we hold on to ourselves so much that we never become what God calls us to become. And so we miss out on all the life that God has for us. We miss out on all the things that we could have walked into had we simply just obeyed. See, I believe there's a warring in us. The commentary that Jesus talks about, and I believe Paul talks about later on in Romans chapter 7, you don't have to turn there, but he says, you know, for what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I'd like to do, but I'm doing the very thing I hate. This is verse 15 and then 7:23. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of the mind, making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, I know the context of this. Paul is talking specifically about the Jews living by the law versus the living by the Spirit, basically accepting Christ. But I believe it also speaks to this condition as well, that there is a side of us that is so fleshly, right? And Paul also talks about the person whose thoughts are in the flesh, they are dead in the law, right? The person whose thoughts are of the Spirit and the things of the Spirit, they are made alive in the Spirit. And so the question I really have for us is, what are we really thinking about more? Are we really thinking about the things of the Spirit? Are we really thinking about the obedience and thinking of God? Or are we continually just thinking of ourselves? Now, that's the physical part, the life part. Now, the salvation part, right? Because the word life in verse 25 also has an element of the Spirit, right? The soul that's within us. Is Jesus talking about if we don't follow Him and live this life, does it mean we're not saved? Well, I don't think so. I think James puts it this way. He puts it beautifully. James chapter 2. Let me turn there. James 2, 14 to 26. What use is it, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but he has no works, can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. And so, James, is he, you know, Martin Luther hated the book of James because it seems so contrary to everything that Paul talks about. Remember, Paul in Galatians says, for we have been saved by grace, not by works, so that none may boast. And so, what is James talking about? What is Jesus talking about? Why is it seemingly that faith without works is dead? I mean, does that mean if we don't have works that we're not saved or whatnot? Well, the context that James here is talking about, remember, James is written to Messianic Jews, so Christians who were going through a lot of persecution, and so much so that many were losing jobs and families. And so during this time, what he was saying to them is, look, despite your difficulty, remain faithful. Serve your brothers and sisters. Give to them. Because if you are truly Christian, if you truly believe in the Christ, if you see your brother in need and you do nothing for them, he's saying, are you really Christian? Do you truly believe? And so what I believe James is saying, it's not so much that we're saved by works, but works is an outward expression of the inward transformation that we've had. And so it's not enough that we say, I'm a Christian, or I believe in Christ, or I have now become of the faith. Because if all we say is, I'm Christian, and yet we do nothing, then I believe what the word of James and Jesus really here is talking about is we really need to reflect. Do we really believe? Do we really say, that is Jesus really Lord of our lives? If we cannot follow Him, if we cannot do what is right, are we truly Christian? Now, we may be saved, right? The idea is we are saved by grace. Yes, it's true. It's not contradicting, but there is no fruit in our lives. And so, I mean, the reality is, are you saved? I don't know. Only you know that. Only Jesus knows that. But it is through the fruit, right? Remember, we are also taught to judge through the fruit of a person's life. And so James here really is talking about there is a requirement for us to be obedient. There is a requirement for us to die to self and then also to live the life that God calls us to live. And so if we were to really look at John 12, this commentary, the question that really comes up to me is, have we died to self? Have we really crucified our thoughts, our desires for life, what we want to do, what we want to accomplish? Have we said, Lord, whatever you desire, and then is there fruit in our lives from that desire? Do we live that way? Or are we simply still holding on to ourselves, staying a seed instead of becoming a plant that reproduces, right, more seed in others and more of Christ? And so let's close our eyes as Ernie comes up. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us this morning. What are you living for? What do you spend the most time thinking about? What do you spend the most time planning about? Now, it's right to think and plan for the things that God's given to us, right? We have to be responsible. But the question behind that is, who are you planning for? Is everything about you? Is everything just about your life and how you can get by and how you can do well? Or truly do you do these things because you're seeking first the kingdom and His righteousness? See, I don't necessarily believe that Jesus, when He was saying those who try to keep their lives will lose it. I mean, there is an eternal part. I do believe the physical, the decisions we make is a reflection of our heart. So maybe the question really is Lord Jesus really Lord of your life? And so as Ernie leads us today, let's go into a time of reflection. God, do I really live for you? Am I really your servant? Are you really my master? Or am I only serving a form of you in myself? And have I made myself master again?
risen and exalted one, Jesus. Your name is like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips. Your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. Like honey on my lips, your spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you. Your name is like honey on my lips, spirit like water to my soul. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Continue to pray. Let's put Him first in all that we do, in all of our thoughts, in all of our motives. Go to our community focus. Let's pray for those suffering from cancer and cancer-related infirmities. Let's really pray for God's hand of healing over them. Let's pray for His comfort. Let's really pray for the families as well. pray for those who need of salvation, but also physical healing. Let's pray that God opens their eyes and that they will come to know their need for Christ. And also pray that throughout this time that He'll bring comfort and healing over them as well. Let's pray for those in our community in need of healing that are suffering from non-cancer related infirmities. Let's pray for His healing. Pray for comfort. Let's pray for providence as well over all their needs throughout this time. Turn to our those who need work. Praise God that the list is getting shorter. Let's really pray that God provides all that they need during this time. Protect them emotionally as well. Sometimes it can get very difficult when you're looking for work for too long. Let's pray for God's favor over them and anointing, and that they'll be able to find work soon. Turn to our mission focus. Let's lift up China. Let's lift up our Beijing family, Pastor Hunsu and Chloe and Enoch as well. Let's pray for covering over the family. Let's pray for protection over the church. Ask God to protect them from those who do not need to know, but really bring those who are in need of Jesus. Pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark and the churches. Let's just pray that God uses our friends powerfully and to bring His Spirit into China. Let's lift up the board. Let's pray for the families. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's pray for anointing and favor over them as they get together and make decisions for our church. Let's pray for P. Sam and Lisa especially. They'll be flying back tomorrow. And so pray for a safe flight and logistics for the kids, that they'll sleep well and that they'll be rested for the way home. Thank you. let's lift up our fellowship ministries as well. Let's lift up men's ministry. Pray for Tyler as he leads it. Pray for the Monday morning prayer meetings, PD group, men's fraternity. Lift up the women's ministry, especially the retreat that's coming up. Let's really pray for the mom's schedules to clear up, that everyone in SP will be able to attend. Let's pray for young adults ministry, Pastor Ken. And as he leads Yahweh, let's pray for Springs. So that's Pastor Sam and Lisa, Max and Belinda and Tyler and Lauren. So let's cover our families, cover our ministries. Let's really pray that God will bring freedom and discipleship through our ministries. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, for your example in Jesus. And so, Lord, help us, God, to continue to seek you first. Father, fill us with your love, God, so that we can understand and know, Lord, that you will take care of us. And so forgive us, Lord, in the areas, God, in which we are living for ourselves. And, Lord, will you continue to satisfy us, Lord? God, we humble ourselves before you, Lord. Help us, God, to make you Lord of all. So, Father, I thank you for my friends that are here today, God. I pray for a blessing over them. Lord, will you anoint their hands, God? Will you bless their workplaces, their friendships, and their families? Lord, cover them, Lord, and set a hedge of protection around them as they go. We thank you, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Bless you. Have a great time of prayer, and we'll see you tomorrow.